Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc. And those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR. And the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show's word for word, I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 448. We are in the book of Romans. We will be covering probably chapters 4, 5, and 6 today. And then we'll get 4 and 5 in. Let's see how we do here. In case you have missed any of my shows or you want to check out some older ones, my website is https://www.pastor-steve.com. Some people have spelled pastor wrong, and if you just Google Pastor Steve, there's a bunch of them. So that's my website. Gotta love the internet, or not. Let's get started in chapter 4 here. Paul is speaking to the Romans and elucidating on the law and a bunch of things. So this is verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Romans. What then shall we say Abraham our father to have found according to the flesh? Verse 2. For if Abraham was declared right by works, he has boasting, but not before Elohim. Verse 3. You can reference Galatians chapter 3 verse 6 for this verse, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Okay, that's Genesis 15, 6 and Galatians 3, 6. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed Elohim, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Verse 4. And to him who is working, the reward is not reckoned as a favor, but as a debt. Verse 5. And to him who is not working but believes on him who is declaring right the wicked, his belief is reckoned for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David also says of the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim reckons righteousness without works. Verses 7 and 8 you can cover in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Verse 7, blessed are those whose lawlessnesses are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom Yahweh shall by no means reckon sin. Okay, verse 9, and for verse 9 you can reference Genesis chapter 15. Verse 6, Genesis 15, 6. Verse 9, is this blessing then upon the circumcised only, or also upon the uncircumcised? For we affirm belief was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. Verse 10, how then was it reckoned, being in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the belief while in uncircumcision, for him to be a father of all those believing through uncircumcision, for righteousness to be reckoned to them also. Genesis 17, verse 10. Okay, you can reference Genesis 17, verse 10. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the belief which our father Abraham had in uncircumcision. All right, let's stop here. What he's saying, he's not doing away with the commandment for circumcision. He's saying that even before Abraham was circumcised, he was righteous. And again, as in the last chapter, if one who does not know Yahshua Messiah and is not a follower of Elohim and is uncircumcised, and he is an Israelite, and he begins to believe and follow and do the commandments, his uncircumcision is not going to keep him out of the kingdom. Okay? Because he came as he was, which was uncircumcised. Now, if he wants to follow the commandment, that's fine. But if he is later in life and circumcision would be a problem, medically or whatever, he is not necessarily going to be required to follow that, because it's supposed to be done on the eighth day as a child, 8 days old. We can't get caught up in the letter of the law. We need to follow the spirit of the law. They were having problems back at that time with the circumcision and the uncircumcision, those that were circumcised and following the law were discriminating against those Israelites from foreign nations that had never been circumcised because they were following the practices of those nations in which they were living. Well, that was corrected by the word, you know, stop persecuting these others and not eating with them or all the rest of it. Circumcision is a ritual and a rite, okay? If you're born an Israelite and your family's living in the law, that's one thing. But if you're in a foreign country, born there, but you are of Israelite stock, it's the bloodline that counts, okay? They weren't putting, at that point, that requirement on those from the other nations of dispersion. That was the deal there. Today, there is no reason why knowing Israelite parents should not circumcise their sons on the eighth day. If they do not, that sin is on them. They're not following the law. All right, they're not following what the commandments say. It's a fine line, you know. There are those that say, oh, circumcision doesn't matter. It's a commandment. He's not doing away with the commandments. He's just saying that other people at that time period were living in lands of dispersion, and circumcision was not the practice in those lands. And he said, don't try to not associate or exclude those that have not been circumcised from foreign nations, because they're still Israelites and they're still under the promise. Okay. Verse 13 of chapter 4. And verse 13, the reference is Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 through 6. That's Genesis 17, verses 4 through 6. And Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18. Genesis 22, 17 and 18. And the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 29. Galatians 3, 29, verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the Torah, but through a righteousness of belief. Okay. Verse 14. For if those who are of the Torah are heirs, belief has been made useless and the promise has been nullified. Reference Galatians 3, verse 18. Galatians 3, verse 18. Verse 15, for the Torah works out wrath. For where there is no Torah, there is no transgression. Verse 16, reference Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Galatians 3, 7 for verse 16. On account of this, it is of belief that it be according to favor, for the promise to be made certain to all the seed, or seed line, not only to those who are of the Torah, but also to those who are of the belief of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, and you can reference Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. Genesis 17, 5. Verse 17. As it has been written, I have made you a father of many nations. Those are the nations in dispersion. In the presence of him who he believed, even Elohim, who gives life to the dead and calls that which does not exist as existing. In other words, he's the divine creator. Verse 18, who against all expectation did believe in expectation, so that he should become father of many nations according to what was said, so shall your seed be. Again, reference Genesis 15, verse 5. Genesis 15, 5. Verse 19 of chapter 4. Reference Genesis 17, verse 17. Genesis 17, 17. And not having grown weak in belief, he did not consider his own body already dead, being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He did not hesitate about the promise of Elohim through unbelief, but was strengthened in belief, giving esteem to Elohim. Verse 21, and being completely persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to do. In other words, he did not doubt Yahweh. Yahweh said something, he believed and acted on that belief. Very firm faith. Verse 22, again, reference Genesis 15, verse 6. Genesis 15, 6. Therefore also it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Verse 23 reflects the same thing. Genesis 15, 6. And not because of him alone was it written that it was reckoned to him. Verse 24. But also because of us, to whom it shall be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised up Yahshua, our master, from the dead. Verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our trespasses. Okay? Our trespasses. And was raised for us to be declared right. Reference Isaiah chapter 53. Verses 4 and 5. That's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. The righteousness comes through Yahshua because we don't have any righteousness of our own. That's the whole deal here. He is the Redeemer, redeeming us from sin. If we choose willingly to enter into that new covenant that is made with us by Yahweh, because it's a new covenant and there are rules to a covenant. All right, beginning chapter 5 of the book of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, having been declared right by belief, we have peace with Elohim through our Master, Yahshua Messiah. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by belief into this favor in which we stand and we exult in the expectation of the esteem of Elohim. Verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult in pressures, knowing that pressure works endurance. Now, pressure means the persecution that we face in this world, the pressures put on us by others that are non-believers and the evil ones. Verse 4, and endurance, approvedness, and approvedness, expectation. Verse 5, an expectation does not disappoint because the love of Elohim has been poured out in our hearts by the set-apart Spirit which was given to us. Verse 6, for when we were still weak, Messiah in due time died for the wicked. Verse 7, for one shall hardly die for a righteous one, though possibly for a good one someone would even have the courage to die. Verse 8, but Elohim proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Messiah died for us. While we were still sinners. That's very powerful right there. And that's one of the main points of this passage. While we were still sinners, Yeshua made that sacrifice. Verse 9, much more then, having now been declared right by his blood, that blood sacrifice covered over our sins, okay? That's what the blood sacrifice was for. We shall be saved from wrath through him. In other words, he is our righteousness. We don't have righteousness of our own. It's his righteousness and the covenant that we are part of that redeems us. Verse 10, for if, being enemies, we were restored to favor with Elohim through the death of his son, much more, having been restored to favor, we shall be saved by his life, the life that he sacrificed for us. Okay, we will be saved from destruction if we enter into that covenant. That's what he did. That was the act of sealing that new covenant with us as Israelites, because the blood of bulls and goats wasn't getting it done. That old covenant had to be fulfilled and the new covenant had to be established. And that is exactly what he did. Verse 11, and not only this, but we also exult in Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom we have now received the restoration to favor. Restoration to favor. Because we were out of favor, okay? We were in sin. We were not going to make it. The blood of bulls and goats wasn't going to cover over our sin. We would die in our sin. And only that perfect sacrifice would restore us to favor. Verse 12. And you can reference Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. Genesis 3, 6. And the wisdom of Solomon in your Apocrypha. Chapter 2, verse 24. That's Wisdom 2:24. Now, if you don't have an Apocrypha, there are online. Not a problem. There's numerous sites that you can find them. verse 12. For this reason, even as through one man sin did enter into the world, that's Adam, okay, he sinned, and death through sin, he lost his eternal life. He lived a good long time, but he lost his eternal life. He was no longer divine. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 13, for until the Torah, sin was in the world. But sin is not reckoned when there is no Torah. Verse 14. But death reigned from Adam until Moshe, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. He was a type of Yeshua. He was the opposite, actually. He brought sin into the world, and Yeshua covered over that sin and took it out. Adam caused us to lose our eternal life. We have to live in these bodies that break down and die. Well, Yeshua gives us the hope of eternal life restored through that sacrifice if we enter into and keep the covenant that he made with us. Verse 15. But the favorable gift is not like the trespass, for if by the one man's trespass many died, that he's speaking of Adam again, much more the favor of Elohim and the gift in favor of the one man, Yeshua, Messiah, overflowed to many. Through Adam came death, through Yeshua comes life. Okay, that's the whole deal. Verse 16. And the favorable gift is not as by one having sinned. For indeed the judgment was of one to condemnation, but the favorable gift is of many trespasses unto righteousness. Verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one death did reign through the one, speaking of Adam again, much more those who receive the overflowing favor and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one, Yeshua Messiah. Again, he reiterates that Adam brought death and Yeshua brought life. Verse 18. So then, as through one trespass there resulted condemnation to all men, Adamites, so also through one righteous act there resulted righteous declaring of life to all men, Adamites. That's, you can reference 2 Esdras, chapter 7, verse 11, 2 Esdras 7, 11 for verse 18. Verse 19. For as through the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, speaking of Yeshua, many shall be made righteous. Verse 20. And the Torah came in beside so that the trespass would increase. In other words, once the law was given, you can't plead ignorance. there's the law. You have to go by the law. Okay, continuing on in verse 20. But where sin increased, favor increased still more, the graciousness of Yahweh. Verse 21. So that as sin did reign in death, even though favor might reign through righteousness to everlasting life, that's everlasting life, through Yeshua, Messiah, our Master. So what Yeshua did was negate the damage that Adam did with sin. Okay. Cover it over, and we have a chance at redemption. A chance, because you have to keep the covenant that's given. There's still rules. Okay? The Torah still stands. It's a guidebook on how to live. And once you accept the redemption through Yeshua, you're supposed to try your very, very best to keep the law of the Torah. Okay, now we enter into chapter 6. What then shall we say? Shall we continue in sin to let favor increase? In other words, oh, we're redeemed and Yeshua did that, so we can just keep on sinning. We're all covered. No, it doesn't work that way. Verse 2 of chapter 6, you can reference Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. That's Romans 8, 13, Colossians 3, 3, and 1 Peter 2, 24. Verse 2 here. Let it not be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? In other words, you die to sin when you make that covenant with Yeshua. But if you keep sinning, you haven't really made that covenant because you're not obeying the rules of the covenant. Okay. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were immersed into Messiah Yeshua were immersed into his death. All right, when we baptized the other day at the Feast of Tabernacles, in memory of his birth, and then you immerse the person, his death, and his resurrection, you bring him up out of the water, you are resurrected up out of that water, and that's symbolic of the contract, the covenant with Yeshua. That's what baptism by immersion is today. Birth, death, and resurrection. Verse 4. And you can reference Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12, Colossians. We were therefore buried with him through immersion into death, that as Messiah was raised from the dead by the esteem of the water, so also we should walk in newness of life. The immersion is the symbolism that you are buried and dead to the sin, and then you are resurrected through Yeshua. That's the whole deal of the obedience to be immersed for repentance of sin. Verse 5. For if we have come to be grown together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be of the resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, the old before, was impaled with him. That old man died on that stake so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless to serve sin no longer. We're no longer prisoners of sin. Verse 7. For he who has died has been made right from sin. Those sins were covered over. We were redeemed from sin at that point. Verse 8. And if we died with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9. Knowing that Messiah, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer rules over him. In other words, we won't suffer that second death. Okay, we'll die the first death, perhaps, but not the second death, because our eternal life has been restored to us and we will get new bodies in the resurrection. Verse 10 of chapter 6. You can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 7, verse 19. 4th Maccabees 7, 19. For in that he died to sin once for all. But in that he lives, he was the first fruits of the resurrection, he lives to Elohim. He's alive with Yahweh. Okay, verse 11. So you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to Elohim in Messiah Yeshua our Master. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body to obey it in its desires. You have to control your vessel. Okay? Verse 13. Neither present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to Elohim as being alive from the dead, spiritually dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to Elohim. In other words, you have to start living a righteous life. Verse 14, reference Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis 4, 7. Verse 14 here. For sin shall not rule over you, for you are not under the law, but under favor. Okay, you're already following Yahshua, who was perfect, and you're not under the stricture of the law. The law isn't done away with. You're not supposed to disobey it, but you have been redeemed from the punishment of the sin that you committed before. Verse 15, he tells us here, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under Torah but under favor? Let it not be. In other words, you just don't start disobeying the Torah because you've made a contract with Yahshua. You don't do that. Because he said not one jot or tittle of the Torah will fail until heaven and earth pass away. Verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself servants for obedience, you are servants of the one whom you obey, whether of sin or death, or of obedience to righteousness? In other words, if you're going to be obedient and follow his commands, you're not going to be in sin. You will live a righteous life if you follow the teachings of Yahshua. Verse 17. But thanks to Elohim that you were servants of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, that's what being obedient to Yeshua, being baptized, following commands, dying to sin, okay? You became servants of righteousness. Verse 19. I speak as a man because of the weakness of your flesh. For even as you did present your members as servants of uncleanness and of lawlessness resulting in lawlessness, so now present your members, talking about your body, your hands, what you do, okay, as servants of righteousness resulting in set apartness. You're set apart from the world and its sin in Yeshua, okay? That's what the set apartness is here. Verse 20. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Ooh. Verse 21. What fruit, therefore, were you having then? In other words, what were your actions then? Over which you are now ashamed. You're ashamed of your former sinful life. I know I am. For the end thereof is death. Verse 22, but now, having been set free from sin and having become servants of Elohim, you turn your whole life over to God, okay? You have your fruit resulting in set apartness and the end, everlasting life. The fruits of your works in the world, you're not doing evil anymore, you're doing good and righteousness. Okay, that's the deal. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. That's that second death. Okay, you will not have eternal life. You will die in this world and you will be resurrected to judgment and then die in the next world. Won't have that eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the favorable gift of Elohim is everlasting life in Messiah Yeshua, our Master. And that ends chapter 6. Now we're going to go into chapter 7. It's not that long. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Or do you not know, brothers, for I speak to those knowing the Torah, that the Torah rules over a man as long as he lives? Verse 2. For the married woman has been bound by Torah to the living husband, but if the husband dies, she is released from the Torah concerning her husband. Verse 3. So while her husband lives, she shall be called an adulteress if she becomes another man's. But if her husband dies, she is free from that part of the Torah, so that she is not an adulteress, having become another man's. Verse 4. So, my brothers, you also were put to death to the Torah through the body of Messiah, for you to become another's, the one who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to Elohim. You're dead to the world, and now you're alive in Yeshua. That's what he's saying in that passage. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the passions of sins through the Torah were working in our members to bear fruit to death. okay, we were living in unrighteousness and sin, and it would have brought us spiritual death. That's the deal with the world and its order of arrangement. Verse 6. But now we have been released from the Torah, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter. Okay, this explains that. Verse 7. What then shall we say? Is the Torah sin? Let it not be. However, I did not know sin except through the Torah. It's an alert. This is sin. Don't do it. Okay, that's what the Torah is for. For also the covetous, the covetousness, I knew not if the Torah had not said, you shall not covet. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. And Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. That's Exodus 20:17 and Deuteronomy 5:21. Verse 8. But sin, having taken the occasion through the command, did work in me all sorts of covetousness. For apart from Torah, sin is dead. Verse 9. And I was alive apart from the Torah once. But when the command came, the sin revived and I died. Spiritual death. Verse 10. And the command which was to result in life, this I found to result in death. In other words, he disobeyed the rules. And the rules will give you life. But if you disobey the rules, it brings you death. You're guilty. All right? There's only one way to get out from under that old covenant, which was so strict that we couldn't keep it. Okay? And that's through Yeshua. Verse 11 of chapter 7, you can reference Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. Genesis 3, 13. For sin, having taken the occasion through the command, deceived me, and through it killed me. He was going to die in his sin because he couldn't keep the Torah. Because the Torah is so righteous. Verse 12. So that the Torah truly is set apart. It's holy. And the command set apart, it's holy, okay, and righteous and good. Verse 13, therefore, has that which is good become death to me? Let it not be, but the sin, that sin might be manifest, was working death in me through what is good, so that sin through the command might become an exceedingly great sinner. Verse 14. For we know that the Torah is spiritual, but I am fleshly, sold under sin. He couldn't keep that spiritual Torah. Nobody can. There's only one perfect, and that was Yeshua. Verse 15, and you can reference Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians 5, 17. For what I work, I know not. For what I wish, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. He has conflicts within himself. Okay? All of us do. He's speaking to all of us because he is one of us. Okay? This is Paul speaking. Verse 16. But if I do what I do not wish, I agree with the Torah that it is good. words, if he obeys the Torah, he's going against his own nature, because we're all sinners. Verse 17, and now it is no longer that I work it, but the sin dwelling in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good. For to wish is present with me, but to work the good I do not find. Verse 19, for the good that I wish to do, I do not do, but the evil I do not wish to do, this I practice. Verse 20, and if I do that which I do not wish, it is no longer I who work it, but the sin dwelling in me. In other words, we consciously, oh man, I know I shouldn't do that, but you've done it anyway. Okay. Verse 21. I find therefore this law, that when I wish to do the good, that the evil is present with me. Verse 22. And you can reference Psalm 119, verse 16. Psalm 119, verse 16 for this verse. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim according to the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another Torah in my members, battling against the Torah of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the Torah of sin which is in my members. In other words, he's fighting against his own bodily wishes. You may have good intentions, but the flesh is weak. That's the whole thing. We've got a problem as long as we are stuck in these earthly bodies. And we have to deal with that. Okay? Verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25. Thanks to Elohim through Yahshua Messiah our Master. So then, with the mind, I myself truly serve the Torah of Elohim, but with the flesh, the Torah of sin. We battle against ourselves daily. That ends chapter 7. I'll get into chapter 8 for the next show. Paul said also, I die daily. He has to die daily to sin, as do we all. We all have to do that because our flesh is weak. We're stuck in these flesh bodies. We have impure thoughts. We're not perfected. We're under the lusts of this order of arrangement, this world. And our body wants to do certain things. Our mind tells us not to. But the body is strong, and our mind gives in, and we go ahead and we commit sin. You know, and that holds for everybody, including preachers. Don't ever think because a man is a minister that he's free from sin. Don't get that erroneous opinion, and never, ever, ever hold any preacher, especially me, up on a pedestal. Don't put us up on a pedestal. We can't fulfill your expectations. We're going to fail upon occasion. You have to use Yeshua as the example, not a man. not me or Eli or David James or anybody. No man. Don't use us as an example. Yeah, that some of us work real hard at trying to live by Scripture. And there's a price to pay for that. But we still, in our private lives, I'm not going to try to shine anybody on that I am free, absolutely, from sin. Nobody is while they're in their earthly body. But you have to keep asking for forgiveness, and you have to keep dying to sin daily and making a renewed effort to be obedient to the rules that Yahweh has set down. The Torah is not gone. It's not done away with. It's a guidebook on how to live, but only one was ever capable or successful in keeping the Torah. And that was Yahshua, because he was the Word. He was divine. We are not. It doesn't give us license to sin. Oh, I'm going to sin anyway because I'm weak and I'm in this body, so I might as well just do what I want. No, you don't do that. That's not where you should go. You have to keep on keeping on and renew your effort and die to sin daily. And just keep fighting. You have to fight your own self. Okay? Let's be real honest about it. You have to fight your own self. That's the deal. Well, that'll end the show for today. I appreciate you listening. And I'll catch you on the next show. This has been number 448. And catch you on number 449. May Yahweh bless and keep you all.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Thank you.